Are you ready? It's time for another great infotaining show filled with power-packed business and life information. Welcome to Your Future Is Now with your host, Jim Grant, and co-host, Don McGrath. Want to know how to create a fantastic TED Talk? Or how you can become an author or a speaker or build your own online business? Maybe it's reaching a level of success in your life that you deserve. Their show is designed to provide information to assist you towards your success and destiny. Each week, Jim and Dawn will interview a special guest and share exciting lessons. So grab a pen and paper. Take some notes. Thanks for joining the show. Now, here's Jim.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant. Welcome to the show. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by Speakers Pathway Coalition. If you go to speakerspathway.com, that's speakerspathway.com, we've got some very nice surprises for you. Because right now, Dandy Don McGrath, the gentleman normally helps host this show with me, he is live on Facebook on the Speakers Pathway Coalition public page. He's live streaming another show that we are doing. It's a webinar series we're doing daily. It's called Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. We've had a tremendous response from well over 100 speakers that want to be part of this. It's about paying it forward, helping people in their hour of need as far as messages of inspiration, hope, and support. And if you go to speakerspathway.com, just look for about halfway down the main page there, the homepage, you'll see the site, the little message thing says messages of inspiration, hope, and support. Scroll down a little bit. You'll see three pictures of some of our speakers. Click on see more. And we're putting the individual speakers page there, their individual presentation that's recorded on YouTube. You can download it. You can listen to it. You can share it. It is a tremendous blessing. And both of the gentlemen joining me today, Mr. Bill Heinrich, he is one of our executive training directors at SpeakersPathway.com. Bill also is a coach that's just, he's a business coach that never talks business. He's got a great inspirational gift there. I'm going to let him introduce him or say hello to everyone and let him share his information about his guest, about his gift there. And our guest is Mr. John Clarkson. John has also been on the Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. So, Mr. Bill, let me start with you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for allowing me to co-host for the second week in a row with Dawn doing the handling the inspirations, the messages of inspiration, hope, and support. It's really great to be here. You know, it's funny, I don't talk business with my clients. And the reason I don't is because business doesn't really matter. What really matters is how you feel and the energy that you're bringing to any situation. And that's what makes all the difference in the world, not just in business, but in your overall life, relationships, your family, every area of life. The better your energy is, the better that people will respond to you.
That is so true. Yeah, because
you're magic.
Yeah, that's so true. Pardon me for interrupting there, Bill, and thank you for volunteering to pick up the slack. I forgot to mention that, but what's really amazing when you talk about the energy, Bill, you talk about attracting the things that you want and not being distracted by the things that you don't want. That's my way of putting it. You might want to explain it a little better, sir.
Well, you know, we live on Earth. But the earth is part of the universe, and the universe runs everything. And there's seven laws that run the universe, but I'm only going to talk about one, and it's the first one that's fixed, and that is everything's a vibration, Jim. Everything's a vibration. That's the way the universe works. That's the way Earth works. And when you understand how to energetically create the right vibration, like attracts like. Otherwise, you're going to be speaking to people and they're going to connect with you intellectually, but intellectual doesn't do it. That's only to help you solve things. To really expand and build your life and create a life beyond your wildest dreams, you do it with energy. And I know that you and Don have experienced that since I've been hanging around with you guys. We've seen some tremendous results because of it.
Absolutely, because ladies and gentlemen, I can honestly tell you, Bill Heinrich has taught me and Don two very important lessons. Number one, to listen to him. Number two, follow the energy. Because so many times we try to make decisions. We're going to build this box and we're going to make everything fit inside of this physical box. And I love it when Bill says, you know, Jim, never make another decision. Just make options. And that way your options are open. If this is going well, okay. If it's not going well, we'll make a little change here, an adjustment. That way you don't, it just destroys the stress, because that was a trap I fell into, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you fell into that, but when you want something to be a certain way and you want to force it to fit, it's like pushing a chain uphill. All it's going to do is wear you out and stress you out. So please don't do that. And Bill, I know you've got a complimentary gift there at the speakerspathway.com. If they click on the complimentary gifts, would you like to share a little bit about your law of attraction, sir?
Yes. I'm trying to remember which gift I've got because I've changed it. I know one of them was to do a free coaching session with someone. If anybody has an interest in learning more about what I do and how I can show you to expand your life beyond your wildest imagination, you can get a hold of me at the Divine Purpose Guy, the Divine Purpose Guy at gmail.com. I'll set up a 30-minute coaching call with you and show you some things that I guarantee you will absolutely amaze you.
Thank you, sir. And also, too, both of you, I'm going to give Bill, you a chance to first to speak about it first, but also I want to bring John in and give him a chance to speak about it. Both of you have been on the Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. What is your opinion of those presentations?
Well, it's the purest form of giving that you can encounter. In our executive board meeting a few weeks ago, Speaker's Pathway, right when this pandemic started, I immediately checked in with everybody to see how they were feeling. And, you know, everybody wanted to talk business. I'm like, no, I want to know how you feel. What's going on? Because these are really crazy times. And how can we serve at a higher level? And it was amazing, Jim, because bing, bang, boom, this thing happened. And the next thing, this was on a Wednesday. And mm-hmm. we launched this the next Monday and had over 100 speakers that volunteered to speak on all different topics and subjects. And I think John was one of the first people to speak, wasn't he?
He certainly was. And let's bring John on. John Clarkson, he's from Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's joined us by Skype. And John, just want to say good morning to you, number one. Number two, thank you so much for joining us. And would you be kind enough to share a little bit about who you are and talk a little bit about the Messages of Inspiration and Hope and Support, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Jim and Bill. Appreciate you guys having me on here. I got to say, I love that webinar, and I felt privileged to be a part of that. You know, right now there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of scariness going on. It's kind of easy to get trapped in that, I think. But at the same, you know, there's grief. I understand. You know, there's some bad things going on. But at the same time, you know, we're seeing a transformation of really the way we do things and how we operate. And there's also, you know, lots of reasons to have, quite frankly, inspiration and hope. And so I love the webinar series, and thanks for having me on that.
Well, thank you, sir. And we're so glad that you raised your hand and says, deal me in, because you really added a lot of value. And again, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to see the individual presentations, you can hear John's talk there and other speakers. We're adding them, you know, about every day. We're adding some more, because we're doing on the average three per day. There's a couple of days we've only had two speakers per day. That's because of the content that they were delivering. They need a little more time. But just go to speakerspathway.com. In the middle, look for Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. And John, you're going to be talking to us today about getting full value from your training. Would you be kind enough to share a little bit about the overview of what we're going to be talking about today, sir?
Yeah, you bet. So oftentimes we don't really get the value that we should out of the training that we take. And ultimately that becomes about because we're not very intentional with it, quite frankly. And so just a real simple three-step process that anybody can do to get a lot more value out of the training they invest in. It doesn't matter if it's a community college course or an online course or a business course, whatever training you're doing, if you take a little time to just implement this process into your training, you will get a lot more value for it.
That's really amazing because I know that Bill talks a lot about, you know, what really, and Don talks about this too, about what really makes us remember, you know, is when we attach an emotion to something that happens, that just really kind of like brands it into our brain. And I can understand where you say that we, by the time we complete our training and go to work, we've lost about anywhere from 50 to 66%. I believe that's called the forgetting curve that was developed by, was it Ebbinghaus? Is that who came up with that, John?
Yeah, that's right. Back in the 1800s, Ebbinghaus first did research on that. And basically, any information that is not somehow tied to existing information you already have, you lose it rapidly. And so basically what they...
We'll be right back right after these messages.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
We have a book titled The Art of Doing Nothing by Veronica Bien in our guest room by the bed. I'm telling you, this book is an impossible challenge. In the state of Maine, it's said that someone who bottoms chairs for a living is lazy, presumably because one's bottom is perpetually in the chair. To sozzle means to laze around or perform a task in a sloppy way. The word is mainly found in New England. A quote from 1848 describes the term as used by housekeepers in certain parts of Connecticut to refer to a lazy person. Other words for lazy people are abbey lubbers, scabberlatchers, and slaughter pooches. To me, the ultimate loblolly is someone who is too lazy to even fake like they're working.
It's Merging Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And we got some wonderful gifts there for you. When you go to SpeakersPathway.com, we got Dandy Don's his five-step guide to a kick-butt TEDx talk. That's a free gift from Dandy Don to whoever wants it. And also, we've got our messages of inspiration, hope, and support webinar that's going on daily at the same time we're doing the show today. That's where Dandy Don is. And I got to give a shout out to Mr. Bill Heinrich. Bill Heinrich volunteered last week. He's volunteered for the next couple of weeks to fill in for Dandy Don. And Mr. Bill, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much for filling in for Dandy Don. We appreciate it, brother. Good morning, sir.
Well, I appreciate having the opportunity to do this. This is a lot of fun, Jim. Thank you very much. You know, right when we were going to break, John was talking about the forgetting curve that was developed by Ebbinghaus. And John, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. If you could pick up where you were at and tell our audience about that.
Yeah, so basically we have several challenges when it comes to training, and one of them is quite frankly the forgetting curve, and that is any information that's not associated with previously known information tends to get forgotten very quickly. And Ebbinghaus has demonstrated, and other psychologists since then have demonstrated, that you typically lose about 50% of the knowledge gained within the first hour after getting the knowledge. Within a day, you've lost 2/3 of it, and it just gets worse over time. And anything you're not implementing and using will eventually get lost as well. And so it's just not very effective to go out and invest in training when you're not getting anything out of it.
Hmm. That's very interesting. I never really thought about that, but it's interesting to hear you talk about it. It's amazing how fast we forget stuff. And it's not age-related, is it? It comes at all ages. Am I right on that, John?
Absolutely. I think it's a challenge for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, John, would you be kind enough to share a little bit about who you are and your background and your training and things of that nature, sir?
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I've been involved in training most of my life, and probably most notably for this discussion would be my role as a director of training for a large multinational manufacturer called National Walbarco. And in that role, I was responsible for overseeing the organizations that delivered training on our equipment for both our employees and our customers. And so we would develop and deliver training on how to use the equipment, how to maintain it, and for our employees, you know, how to go out and into the field and repair it. At the time, the company was rapidly expanding, and because of that, so was our training demand. And both, you know, because we're bringing on more employees that needed to be trained, but also because we had more customers that needed to be trained. And so, as we're developing our methodologies for training our customers and employees and getting them to use the equipment the best way possible for the greatest effect and also without killing each other and creating environmental catastrophes. At the same time, my organization was rapidly growing. And so I found myself at the same time we're developing the equipment training, trying to figure out how to develop my supervisors and managers to take on increasing roles in an increasing complex organization. And so one of the frustrations I found quickly was with leadership training, with business training that was available at the time. I found it was often, you know, very reaction-based and not results-based. And so what I needed was obviously people to go out and learn the concepts, develop quickly, and be able to use them rapidly, and I just wasn't finding that. You know, for example, I would send somebody off to a course, you know, maybe something called critical conversations or something like that for supervisors, and they'd come back, and so I'd check in with them and say, you know, how was the training? They'd be like, oh, it was great, great training. Oh, that's good to hear. You know, what did you learn? Oh, well, you know, stuff about having critical conversations with employees. Like, oh, okay, great. Right. Anything you can apply in your day-to-day roles here? And, oh, yeah, you know, how to communicate better and have better conversations. And all the time I'm thinking while we're talking, I'm thinking, man, I could have sent them off to a weekend beach trip in Miami, spent less money and probably got better effects out of it because at least they'd come back refreshed and ready to go, right?
Absolutely, because I've heard the same thing, because one of the things that I've always focused on, this is even back when I was in the military, we were instructors and we were scattered over 9 states. We were reservists. And there wasn't any time allotted to train the trainer, because training the trainer to standard so they can implement it and train others, that's a real challenge, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick aside there, I'll tell you, when we were expanding and bringing on new instructors, we always like to go for those naval master instructors. They had an excellent course, and those people could come out and teach just about anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because if they understand the system, as long as they got the materials, I mean, they could put on a high-dollar class. There's no question about that. And, you know, Bill, you know, it talks about about investing in training for employees, and people right now are going to be, they should be looking at how to invest in themselves in training. And what advice would you give someone on that, Bill?
Well, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, actually, I'm sitting here itching in my seat, Jim, because I know in speaking with John before that he talks about how training is focused on reactions, not results. Mm-hmm. And he talks about setting intentions. Now, this is what I teach people, is to stay out of reaction, to work from intentions, because it's an energetic result. So, I really want to hear more about this. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, you bet. Well, for any training course, there's basically four levels of feedback you can get from sending somebody through it. And the first is ultimately reaction. It's how did you like the course? How did you like the instructor? And ultimately, it tells you, you know, how funny was the instructor, which, you know, is important. You got to have a funny instructor that engages the audience, because it's through engagement that really helps retain information. But that's really all it tells you. Next level would be assimilation of the information. Did you understand what was taught well enough that you can, that you can test on it? You can regurgitate the information back. So, you know, when you took high school course or college courses, you'd always get that level of feedback with your tests. And then the next level would be, you know, great, you learned the information. Now what can you do with it? You went out and bought a book on string theory and you read that. That's awesome. Can you actually do anything now with string theory? You know, that'd be the next level. Because if not, all it was just entertainment for you, right? You had an entertaining book on string theory, but you're not actually able to make any practical use out of it. And then the last level of feedback is, okay, you know, you're confident. You've got competency. You're able to use the information, but are you able to get a positive result out of that? Are you going to, you know, when you talk about business, of course, business is all measured in dollars and cents. And so, you know, are you able to get a return on your investment from that training? When you implement it, are you getting value from it, essentially?
Yeah. How do you see intentions playing into this?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, for example, I've got a flyer here for a one-day course on new supervisor training. And in here, you've got, it's a reputable company, and it's a good course, and the information looks great. I would highly recommend, I would be happy to recommend it. But the problem is, there's over 40 bullets of what's going to be taught in this one-day course. That's a lot of information, and most of it, as we've already talked about, is going to be forgotten. So how are you going to get more out of it? And that you do that by three-step process, basically. You set your intention before the course, you go through the course, and then you have an implementation plan that you use after the course. And so for the intention, I like to use an analogy of a woodworking course. Let's say, Bill, you and I go and take a woodworking course, and you're taking the course because you want to learn how to make chairs. And I'm taking the course because I want to learn how to make bookcases. Well, you and I, we're going to go to the same course. We're going to be exposed to the same information, but we're going to come out of there with different skills and information. You're going to pay more attention to how to turn legs, and I'm going to be paying more attention to how do I create joints that are good for casework, you know, for example. And then, you know, Jim comes to the course as well. He doesn't really have an intention. He just thinks he'd like to learn more about woodworking. Well, Jim's not going to get much of anything out of that course, I'm afraid. So.
Interesting. So why is it that you use intention rather than goal?
Good question, Bill. To me, it's kind of semantics, really.
Yeah. You see, to me, it isn't. It's energy.
Yeah.
You see, because when you're setting an intention, then you're getting in alignment with what you want to learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're setting a goal, what you're doing is putting yourself into a quasi-force situation that you have to come out of there with something, and you're losing the enjoyment from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
No. Because intentions come from inside. Goals come from your head.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Goals come from logic. Intention comes from your heart.
Yeah,
it's quite an energetic distinction. This is what I teach. So, sorry if I threw a curveball at you, but
no worries.
But there's a you're going to get much better results always with intentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I would agree with that. So when you're walking into a course, and that was always kind of something that we did in our training was at the very beginning, every instructor that worked in my group was coached to ask, you know, each of their trainees, you know, what's your intention for this course? What are you hoping to get out of it? To kind of help them set that, but also to make sure that, you know, we didn't have somebody in the wrong course or somebody with unrealistic expectations for what the course could deliver. Mm-hmm. When it came to like business training, you know, again, every position in every company from the highest level to the lowest level is really there to do one of two things. We measure business success by dollars ultimately. And so every position is either responsible for increasing revenues or for decreasing expenses. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, it may be both. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you may think of, maybe when you think of a receptionist, you don't really think of that as a money generating position, but it absolutely is, because when you think about it.
We'll be right back right after these messages.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life, and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Welcome to Geraldine Tegelov Live, the show that shares with you the secrets of redefining, reinventing, and rebuilding your life. Having pulled herself from the rubble of financial ruin and having gone on to create a highly successful career, Geraldine has become an expert in the art of transformation. She believes that it doesn't matter where you are right now, how overwhelmed you feel, or how impossible the task of turning your life around may seem. You can do it. Stay tuned as metaphysician, international best-selling author, and intuitive Geraldine Tegelov gives you the inner understanding and the outer practical how-to create your amazing life. Gain a fresh perspective on how to redefine, reinvent, and rebuild your life. Join Geraldine Tegelov live every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the TogiNet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant, host of Your Future Is Now. We are proudly sponsored by speakerspathway.com. And just recently, a week ago, this past Friday, I think it was, or wasn't long ago, we made a decision on a Wednesday afternoon during one of our executive meetings. And then the following Monday, we kicked off a webinar that's a daily program on Facebook. It's also available on speakerspathway.com. It's called Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. And in doing so, we're talking about a lot of things here today with intentions and goals and a lot of great conversation with John Clarkson. But when we set out to do the webinar, We took it from not a position like some people are, how can we get a return on investment? How can we create sales? We didn't look at it like that. We looked at it on how can we get a return of energy, because people need to be fed some good positive energy. They need some good inspiration. They need some good hope. They need some good support. And both of the gentlemen that's on with us today, the gentleman helping me host the show today, Mr. Bill Heinrich, and also our guest, Mr. John Clarkson, both of them have raised their hand and they participated in that webinar. And I just like for them to say just a little bit about the webinar. And again, it's at speakerspathway.com. So, Mr. Bill, how do you feel about us returning that energy?
You know, the energy behind it was amazing. Right from the moment the idea was birthed, it just, the energy just flew. And within, from when we had the idea to the point we had 100 speakers signed up was less than 36 hours. It was absolutely amazing. And each of these messages is only 15 minutes long, and they're now permanently placed at speakerspathway.com. You can go in and hear any of them. They're all different topics. The idea was birthed because of the pandemic that was happening and bringing messages of inspiration, hope, and support to people. But they're going to be applicable at any point in the future, too, because there are just some amazing messages in there. Wouldn't you agree with that, John?
Yeah, absolutely. From a persistence perspective, I was pretty surprised when I got an email back the next day saying over 100 people had applied. I was like, you know, wow. And I was going to be in the first week, so I was pretty excited about that.
It's been fun watching
people with their positive messages as well. I mean, it's been really inspiring.
Yeah, I got contacted by some of the people, or I was speaking to them, who had signed up for it, and they said, oh, I'm really excited, but gee, I'm not booked until May, you know, because we did three a day. You know, before the break, John, we've been talking about the difference in setting an intention and using intentions, and you were talking about how that would be applicable to somebody that was a receptionist. Why don't you pick up from there and tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, you know, in business, we measure business results ultimately by dollars. And so everything in business relates to either increasing revenues or decreasing expenses. Otherwise, you've got somebody in a position they shouldn't be in, basically. And so even with receptionists, you may not normally think of a receptionist as an income generator, but they absolutely are. You know, you think about when your future customers call, what kind of experience are they getting? How are they received? Are they getting routed to are they getting the information they need, or getting routed to the right people to get them the information they need? Whether that's executed well or not is going to make a big difference on whether your future potential customers become your current customers. And then likewise with your existing customers, when they call up, same thing, how they're received and how they're handled when they call is going to make, you know, a difference on their customer satisfaction and whether they remain your customers, both of which drive increasing your income. So even any position in a company, you know, you name it, they're going to be either generating more revenue or decreasing your expenses. And so when you're looking at business courses and setting your intention for that course, you know, I would encourage you to think about what's your role in the company or your team's role. Do you generally increase income, and how do you do that? Or do you decrease expenses, and how do you do that? And then for your intention, also looking for where you have the greatest potential to gain. So, you know, in increasing your income, you might be looking at direct revenue generation, for example, sales, or brand awareness, keep crafting your message, making sure your message is getting out to the right people, attracting customers, generating customer leads and funneling people in, or perhaps, you know, keeping your existing customers and nurturing them and generating additional sales from your existing customers. You know, all different ways of creating additional income, but you may have in your role a particular potential to, you know, maybe your sticking point in the process is in sales. You want to increase your sales. So if you make that in your intention for your course, then as you go through the course, the points that are applicable to increasing your sales, you're going to be able to pick up on those better and really hone in the information that's going to help you with that intention.
You know
there's so much in the – oh, go ahead, Jim. No, go ahead.
You go ahead, sir.
Okay. If I can take this a little further with you, John, because this is what I teach the CEOs and the people that I work with and coach and when I go speak. When you look at the difference between intentions and goals, there's a huge energetic difference in how people respond to them. And with intentions, you create responsibility. And with goals, you create accountability. In other words, they're doing it so they can get paid rather than doing it because they know that it benefits the whole company. And one creates in that responsibility the energy of giving and love, where goals and accountability create stress. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with you.
Big difference in that, because what you're saying is so true, because companies are there to take good care of clients and increase their revenues, you know. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, 100% correct, right? Whether a company succeeds or fails is directly related to whether it's providing a valuable service to others. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a company of one or a company of tens of thousands, it boils down to, are you providing valuable service to others? You know, and of course, the way we measure that is, you know, dollar, you know, with the dollars, we can see whether we're succeeding or failing on the bottom line. But what that's really showing is, are we providing a service to others? Absolutely.
You know, it's really amazing, because as you were talking about that, the reason why I told Bill to go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, I knew he was going to say something positive and intelligent, because all I was going to do is just say, complain a little bit. Because when John was talking, what popped in my mind is that, you know, when I deal with one of the major communication companies, I have my phone with, I got my internet with, et cetera, and I call up with a problem and I can't speak to a human. And they're in the communication business. I'm going like, come on now. And then whoever came up with that the electronic voice says, you can say anything, like, I want to pay my bill. And I said, I want to talk to a human. But that's really critical in this day and time for companies to stay in touch with their customers, have that personal touch, because that's what we all want. We want to be treated like individuals and like people. And John, based on your experience, because I know you've got a tremendous amount of leadership experience, especially being an officer in the military and all. How do you feel about what's a good thing for companies now, whether they're individuals or got thousands of employees, whatever, how they can stay in touch with people? What's one of the simple things they could do?
Well, you remember the old e-surance commercials? I used to love those. It was people when you want it and technology when you don't, or sometimes they reverse that. And basically what they were selling was, you know, how to get what you wanted from their company that they would have when you call up, no kidding, a person who would answer you. But then also, if you just wanted to go on and get a quote, you know, go online, you'd have that available. And so I think creating multiple channels like that for people, you know, it really addresses, you know, the way people want to do business with you, and you bring them in accordingly.
Yes, because during this day and time, you know, companies are having to shift and make adjustments and have virtual offices in people's homes and stuff like that. How do you think that's going to go in the future? I personally see that this is going to be a trend that's going to catch on. People are going to start liking that, and it's going to be able to save companies money as far as office space and things of this nature. Would you expand on that a little bit, sir?
Yeah, soapbox warning, Jim. for a long time now, I've believed that we're moving towards a skill-based economy. We're going to start seeing remote education, remote learning are going to start becoming more and more normal and less exceptional. We're going to see where people are valued not for the amount of time that they work, but the value of their results, the contributions they make. And ultimately, I see this pandemic not changing any of that, but instead, in fact, accelerating us down that road. And so I think we're witnessing the crux here, the turning point towards that skills-based economy.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way there, because right now, as an entrepreneur, a small person, individual person, whether they're a speaker, whether they have an online business or whatever, and they may not be real sure in how to what they should do. But we encourage people to focus on, you know, make an effort to be a blessing to others. You know, just say, hey, get in touch with them. Say, hey, how you doing today? Just thinking of you, appreciate you, and let you know I'm still here. In other words, give them some positive information, because that's when you do the return on energy like what we're doing, that pays dividends. It really does. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I would find it very difficult to disagree with that. Ultimately, you know, boils back to, you know, what I was saying before, where every business ultimately is going to succeed or fail based on whether it's providing service to others. You know, there's no such thing as a self-licking ice cream cone in business, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, how you do that is by valuing other people and making sure that their needs are where they need to be, or are in your company priority.
I know that Bill, he does a lot of training in that area, and he's an expert. And Bill, you know, Don and I, we both use Bill sometimes to be our counselor, to be our listening ear. And sometimes he has asked intelligent questions like, well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm not getting results. Well, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Bill, go ahead, sir.
Well, we can pick that up. We're coming up to the break here in a couple of seconds, Jim. I'll let you take us to the break.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after these messages.
Future is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, a video is worth a thousand pictures. Koji Somaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
We have a book titled The Art of Doing Nothing by Veronica Bien in our guest room by the bed. I'm telling you, this book is an impossible challenge. In the state of Maine, it's said that someone who bottoms chairs for a living is lazy, presumably because one's bottom is perpetually in the chair. To sozzle means to laze around or perform a task in a sloppy way. The word is mainly found in New England. A quote from 1848 describes the term as used by housekeepers in certain parts of Connecticut to refer to a lazy person. Other words for lazy people are abbey lubbers, scabberlatchers, and slaughter pooches. To me, the ultimate loblolly is someone who is too lazy to even fake like they're working.
It's marching down.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jim Grant. Your Future is Now is proudly sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And if you go to SpeakersPathway.com, you're going to see some wonderful gifts and a lot of free energy there. If you need some energy for inspiration, hope, and support, we've got it. Just go to SpeakersPathway.com. Look around the middle of the website there on the front page, on the home page. And you'll see the sign. It says Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. You'll see three speakers there who have previously spoken on our webinar. And if you go a little further down, scroll down a little bit, click on See More, you can actually listen to each of the individual presentations by each of the speakers. And one of the gentlemen there today, Bill, you've been there. And of course, John has been there. One of our guests today, he's got a presentation there too. And he's really given us some good information today, isn't he?
It's been really, really amazing. You know, I kind of have been laughing because I was in sales most of my life. And one time, John, this sales guy went through this demonstration with me that he showed a customer he was trying to sell. He said, well, I want you to remember, he took a piece of paper and he said, the minute I leave here, and he folded the paper in half, he said, you're going to forget half of what I've just said. And by the time you have dinner tonight, he folded it again. And he went through a timetable through the next day, and he was holding the little piece of paper folded up at the end with not much on it, saying, by tomorrow night, this is all you're going to remember about this, so I want to make sure I make my points. So we've been talking about intentions and training. How does the implementation work? What's the key to that?
Yeah, you bet. Another analogy I like to use to kind of help illustrate the point is let's say I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, and you want to come and learn how you want to learn Taekwondo from me. And I say, well, sure, Bill, why don't you sit down, and here's a workbook, and watch this video, and I'm going to take you through and show you each of the blocks and the strikes and the kicks and everything. And at the end of the day, hey, you're a black belt. Congratulations. You're probably not going to be real happy about that, but that's kind of the approach we take with our training, especially with leadership training. You know, going through the course, learning the concepts, you don't learn by learning; you learn by doing. And as Don is so fond of saying, success rewards action. So, how do you translate what you've learned in that course into repeatable behaviors that are going to give you the results you want? And so, for that, you've set your attention. You hold your intention through the course. You gather the information towards your intention. When you're done with the course, right after, go through. You're going to have, your book of notes and what have you that fall in line with your intention of all the things that you could possibly do. And while it's still fresh in your mind, before you lost 50% of it, go through and prioritize what do you want to do. And, I want to learn, I want to try doing this first, I want to try doing this second and third and what have you, and just kind of outline and create an implementation plan. And then I strongly recommend you tackle one thing at a time. How long does it take to create a habit? Most people would say about 21 days. Well, so I would suggest you take no more than one a week, and you start working on your top priority for the next week, and you implement that in your behavior, and you create a habit out of that. And if you get that habitual by the next week, great, we'll move on to your second one. And if not, maybe you stay with the first one a little longer until that really does become workable for you and part of your behavior and starts generating results for you. And so by keeping that implementation plan and working through it piece at a time, you'll get a lot more results out of it because you just learn by doing. That's the way everybody's wired.
It really is, because when I was an instructor, I knew that some of the folks that we were training, we were training on radio equipment, MOS. But my point being is that, you can stand there and you can go over the information on a board or, that sort of thing, go through the program of instruction. But until you put it in their hands, that's what makes it stick. That's the stickability. That just gels it in their mind. And before we go any further, though, John, would you be so kind as to share your email address so someone can get in touch with you? Also, your web address, sir.
Yes, my email address is john.clarson@peakleadershift.com, and that's shift, not ship. and that's how you can email me. The website for our company is peakleadershift.com.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, all of that description will be information will be in the description of the show, and that is Peak Leadershift. PEAKLEADERSHIFT, like you're going to shift a gear. And Bill, I'll tell you right now, I'm just really amazed at how much information and good stuff that John has shared with us today. And goodness, we've talked about intentions, and we've talked about, you've brought in the difference about intentions and goals and things of that nature. And he's just really been, you know, I didn't know anything about this 50 to 66% of the stuff that you learn, you forget in a very short period of time. I thought that took a longer time, but, you know, it's amazing what we've been shared with today and the information. Wouldn't you agree, sir?
Well, you know, there's no question because, you know, I'm in the transformational industry, and there's a saying in that many people call it the shelf help industry, because people buy programs and they end up on the shelf rather than getting self-help. So this is really, what are a couple more tips? You know, there's been so much foundational information on how people can get more out of courses. And more importantly, hopefully we're going to have some instructors listening to this where they're going to be able to get better results from their intention when they create the course. Anything else you can add to that, John?
Yeah, particularly for the instructors and facilitators, ultimately, like, you know, when we were doing the courses for the manufacturing equipment, to make it as practical as possible would really make the difference between people getting something out of the course and getting a lot out of the course. And so we brought in as much hands-on activities as possible, whether it was, and some of it was a rather technical nature, so it might have been computer simulations, animations that we did, or even, you know, simulated equipment usage. But even when it came to more of the theoretical portions, you know, being able to bring in exercises, you deliver a concept, have them exercise that concept, that's going to make it much better as far as retention goes. They're going to be able to retain a lot more information if they actually try to implement a concept that they've learned.
That's really amazing, because I really like to listen to you talk, because, John, I know that you're also a member of the Rotary, because, you know, nobody can meet right now, and you live there in Colorado Springs. And what are some of the things that you see there in Colorado Springs that people are doing as far as investing in themselves right now to be able to train themselves some standard? What's some good advice that you could give people in Colorado Springs as well as Brenham, Texas, and Flathatchet, Arizona, and wherever?
Yeah, one thing, you know, so, and it kind of depends on where you're at and what's going on. Some people are getting floored right now, and some people are suddenly finding themselves with a lot of spare time and wondering what the future holds for them. And regardless, you know, we're in a bit of a flux right now, and ultimately, this, what it boils down to is really, this is the time to be investing in yourself and your people, you know, making sure that you are learning what you can and implementing the things that you can now more than ever, because things are changing. And so, you know, one of the things with Peak Leadership, what we're doing to try to help that out in a way that we can, you know, we know that, we understand businesses may be seeing tight cash flow, or they're just scared about what's going to be happening. Are they going to be able to keep their employees? And so we're launching our training company right now, which is, you know, it's results-based training. The idea is you can actually take the training and measure your results and quantify the value you get out of the training. That being said, you know, we're offering it up full price to those that can pay it, on a payment plan to those that maybe don't have the cash right now but can pay over time. And for those that don't have the cash flow, pay what you can, even if that's zero. You know, Don't stop. Don't stall out your development or your employees' development because of what's going on. Make sure you're continuing to develop yourself.
I really like that advice and what you're sharing there. Not when you said, you know, just zero if you can't, you know, if you don't have it right now, the cash flow. Because I've been telling people, whenever they're looking to, especially the individual looking to invest in themselves and make this a productive time, and being positive, look for places, people, organizations that will actually pay it forward. And most importantly, they're focused on a return of energy. And that's exactly what we've done with the messages of inspiration, hope, and support. And Bill, I think it was it you that made that suggestion that we were to kick that thing off? I forget who it was. I know it wasn't me when we were in the executive meeting, but we kicked that thing off because it just ignited, because we knew it was the right thing to do, right?
Yeah. Actually, it was me. I don't want to take credit for it. You know, I just said, you know, what if we did some messages of inspiration, hope, and support? It just kind of fell off my tongue. And what was amazing, and what really fits in with what John is saying is everybody just picked it up from there, you know. And so it was intention-based again, and John's been certainly talking about that. And I don't know if there's a couple more points you have that you might want to make on this, John. We've got about a minute and a half left. Anything else that you can add?
I would just reiterate, you know, the thing that I said before. What I've seen in the past is people will tend to stall out. Don't stall right now. Don't hunker down and wait for the world to go back to the way it was. It's not going to. You need to learn to adapt to the way things are right now and move forward, not look back and try to wait for things to go back to what you consider quote unquote normal. Normal just changed. So invest in yourself and make sure you're looking forward.
Yeah, one of the things that they can do is we're running out of time. I'd like to finish up with this right quickly, is to be able to download this podcast here on Toganet. And most importantly, go to speakerspathway.com. You can get John's talk there, his presentation. Just go to messages, have inspiration, hope, and support. And ladies and gentlemen, please share that with others. Please subscribe and share the show. I'm Jim Grant on behalf of Bill Heinrich and Mr. John Clarkson. We want to thank you so much. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and may you be blessed. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.